What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Luke Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macro Aggressions. I am your host, Charlie Robinson. How the hell are you? We know you've got a lot of choices out there. I really do appreciate you listening to this little podcast. It's gaining some traction. I'm happy about that. And hey, listen, we got a book for sale. I can't believe it. The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire is now out. I have been talking about it for a while. I'm really glad that we didn't put it out in March of 2020 when we thought we were going to. We pumped the brakes, waited for the corona situation to develop, incorporated that into the book. And guess what? Top 100 on Amazon. Yeah, I think last time I checked, it was number 83. Out of 1.8 million books. This is insane. I'm so pleased. It all has to do with you guys. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't for you. I'm so appreciative. Thank you. Check out Jeff Berwick's work as well. He's out of his mind, but in the best way possible. He's the dollar vigilante and the founder of Anarchapulco, the largest anarchist convention in the world that happens in Acapulco, Mexico every February. So, thank you all for supporting the book and making it to number one in Australia. It's gone number one bestseller in several categories. It is technically an Amazon number one bestseller, which is crazy to me. So thank you guys. I appreciate all the work. You're supporting my work. It means a lot to me. So, well, what are we going to talk about this week? You know, those maniacs that have run this corona situation, they think we'll never catch on to them. You know, they think that it'll be like a 9/11 type thing where you go 20 years in the future and people are still saying, well, you know, it might have been 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters and all that stuff. That's not going to happen this time around with the corona situation because we are on to them. I'm not trying to say I have it all figured out, but I have a pretty good idea of what's happening. And part of it has to do with the, you know, with Europe of all places. Why is Europe so involved in this? Well, I think if what we're going to do in this episode is trace back the roots and take a look at the current situation happening with the World Economic Forum. And that is such an innocuous name, you know. It sounds like, you know, we're just helping. We're the world. We're talking about economics. We're having a big forum. We're going to get together and talk about boring banking stuff. Just the perfect cover to get everybody falling asleep and not paying attention to them. But I'm telling you right now, the World Economic Forum is driving this policy. They're the maniacs behind the COVID situation. They are 100% involved in it. I'm not speculating. I mean, I could prove it. I'll show you. I'll tell you all about it. But first, in order to kind of lay the groundwork of, you know, who the World Economic Forum is, you have to dig back into the history of them, the founder. Klaus Schwab is credited as being the founder of the World Economic Forum. But there actually was a predecessor to the WEF called the European Management Forum, EMF. They were, you know, major patron of the EMF was Altero Spinello. He's from the Commission of the European Communities, which is like a forerunner of the European Commission. This guy, this Spinello character, he was a member of the Italian Communist Party and one of the founders of the EU. Okay, so he was heavily involved with this group called the European Management Forum, EMF. EMF is before the WEF, it's the predecessor to the World Economic Forum. So they've got a guy that was heavily involved that was, you know, a communist and the founder of the EU. And if you don't know about the EU, the European Union, the precursor to that was the European Economic Commission. And that was the group that was like, you know, several countries brought together. Ted Heath was part of that notorious pedophile prime minister of the UK. He was involved in this in the 70s. He was, or 70s and 80s, I guess. Notorious child rapist, pedophile, child murderer, the worst human being on the planet, really. I mean, this guy makes Jimmy Savile look like a choir boy. Well, of course, they were friends. But so you dig into the history of the EU and you're like, oh, the EU is, you know, is the precursor to like the United. It's like the globalist dream, right? We're going to link up all these European countries into the European Union. And then we're going to link up, we're going to use that same strategy and link up, you know, countries in Africa, the African Union, and South America, North American Union, and those things. And then once we get all these bigger blocks together, then we'll connect them all and make the one world government. So the EU is up to no good, straight up. They're not to be trusted. That's not a group that you want to be associated with. But this Spinello character was one of the founders of the EU, an Italian communist party member. And he was also heavily involved in the European Management Forum. But he wasn't in charge of it. The guy that was in charge of it was a German banker named Dr. Hermann Abs. Now, this character started the European Management Forum, the EMF, which later became the World Economic Forum. So who's Dr. Hermann Abs? Well, he was only the head of Deutsche Bank, the foreign department, during World War II. He was one of Hitler's bankers. He was known to be the most powerful commercial banker in the Third Reich. Dr. Hermann Abs. He sat on the board of IG Farben. He's connected to the Bank for International Settlements, which is the central bank of the central banks. And they describe him as a linchpin of continent-wide plunder. So, I mean, when you're the head of Deutsche Bank during World War II, you're obviously connected to Hitler. In a real way. The Third Reich came to an end, as we know. But where did all those people go? Well, some of them came to the United States under Operation Paperclip. Some of them went to Russia. They were captured by the Soviets. Some of them went to England. Some of them stayed in Europe. I mean, the powerful, connected, important ones were eventually absorbed by some larger country, you know, a lot of them, the US, but not all of them. So you've got this Dr. Hermann Abs, head of Deutsche Bank, most powerful commercial banker in the Third Reich, sat on the board of IG Farben, which is, you know, a chemical company that made, you know, Zyklon B, and among other things, a German industrial company, like a Monsanto. It's like if you combine Monsanto with like, United Steel or something. You know, I mean, it was, they were really involved. They were involved in every aspect of the German production in the lead up to World War II and also during World War II. So this guy's a board member there. And so he starts this European management forum. And then it eventually becomes the World Economic Forum. And World Economic Forum is run by Klaus Schwab, who's a German as well. Grew up in the, you know, in the aftermath of, he was a little too young to be involved in World War II. He was born in like the 42 or something like that, somewhere around there. So he grew up in the post-World War II Germany, saw what was happening there. His father, Klaus Schwab's father, was also a German industrialist as well. I mean, he's part of the club. So this is sort of this is what set up the World Economic Forum. I bring this up because it's important to understand kind of where the mentality is. You have the wrong type of people setting up this group. You have Nazis. Like, really? So Jim Mars writes a book called The Fourth Reich, in which he lays out the very plausible scenario that Germany didn't necessarily, they lost the war technically, but you know, a lot of the most powerful people from that organization were never held accountable. Yeah, there was the Nuremberg trials and some people, you know, were taken out back and shot and stuff like that. But the real people, the real perpetrators, the real connected guys were worth more alive than dead, frankly. And so they were brought into the fold. They were brought in to run the rocket program. We know about Wernher von Braun was brought over to take his expertise in the V1 and the V2 rockets and, hey, see what you can do for us. I mean, you're a scientist. Yeah, you're a hardcore Nazi scumbag. But, you know, as Henry Kissinger says, you know, we can work with that. You know, he didn't give a shit about that. So they bring these guys over. And Jim Mars writes about this, how the Fourth Reich is currently really kind of running this current regime, this planetary regime. These globalist maniacs have a lot of ties to Nazi Germany. Think about the royal family in England, right? Let's think about the Windsors. Prince Philip, you know, that old crusty old guy who's like 180 years old and looks like death warmed over and said that when he does finally die, which hopefully is tomorrow, he wants to come back as a virus so that he can reduce the world's population. You know, that fucking guy? Well, that guy was a literal Nazi. I mean, there's pictures of him in his SS uniform, made by Hugo Boss, by the way, goose stepping down the street and everything. I mean, there's a lot of crypto Nazis, you know, like hidden, concealed Nazis. When you see Prince Harry, you know, dressed up like a Nazi for Halloween and everything, haha, that's a joke. What an insensitive Halloween costume. Listen, man, he's just getting in touch with his roots. I mean, that family is German. They're the Bowers. They're not English. They're fucking Germans, you know. I mean, it's like the irony of this whole, hey, there's the Queen trooping of the colors. Yo, go Britannia. Yo. Chally-ho. Good job, old chap. They're all a bunch of fucking Nazis. It's the irony of all ironies, really, that you've got this planet run by people that are pretending to not be Nazis, but they are actual Nazis. And then, and meanwhile, all the social justice morons out there are calling everybody Nazis except for the actual Nazis. It's just a backwards world. But back to the World Economic Forum. It's important to understand the history of it just because it sets the tone for where they're planning to take things. And it also kind of is important for you to know that when you come from, you know, a Nazi background in Germany, that mentality sort of let's take over the world mentality, it never really goes away. It just changes form. So yeah, Hitler's plan was to take over the world militarily and by conquering people by force and then taking their resources for, you know, living space for the Germans and all the reasons that he gave for that. But, he didn't, you know, that wasn't a revolutionary idea. Narcissistic tyrants have always wanted to take over the world. They just couldn't do it. You know, just as it's a tall order. But there's a different way to do it. If you really want to take over the world, it probably would be in your best interest to not let everybody know that that was your plan. You'd do it in a covert way. You certainly wouldn't be like, "Hey, listen, we're planning to take over the world." Instead, you would do it in a more covert way. Maybe take over the world through monetary policy. If you can control the world's banks, you control the world in a sense. I mean, you control a large aspect of it. So it's not, you know, unforeseeable for someone to think, well, you know, if I was really going to take over the world, I could put tanks on every corner and everything. But at some point, you know, all this killing would get old. But if I enslaved everyone in a way that they didn't even know that they were being enslaved, oh, well, that would work a whole lot better. So the World Economic Forum is not some altruistic non-governmental organization that's out there looking out for the best interests of the people. They'll tell you that that's what they're doing, but you don't need to dig too far into them to understand that what they're all about is just a new version of the one world government. In fact, the World Economic Forum has relationships with the United Nations and groups like that. They are in sync with these. These are not competing factions. These guys are all working together. So, you know, and you look at the World Economic Forum's board of trustees and you've got a who's who of globalist scumbags on there. It's like the bar from Star Wars, but like in reality, you've got Al Gore, who invented the climate change hustle, you know, the carbon tax hustle, which, of course, the World Economic Forum is fully behind. You have Mark Benioff, who's the Salesforce CEO and also the Time, now owns Time Magazine. I will remind you that the former editor-in-chief of Time Magazine, Richard Stengel, in front of an audience and television cameras, you know, not like he got, you know, had 8 shots of Jägermeister and then just started mouthing off at the bar about his plan, you know, about how he likes propaganda. He said it on camera in a panel discussion in front of live human beings with a camera, which I presume had a red dot on the top showing him that it was actually recording. And he stood up there in front of everybody and said, as the former editor-in-chief of Time Magazine said, "I don't have a problem with propaganda. I think propaganda plays a role. I think it's good. I don't have a problem with propaganda. Every government uses it, and there's nothing wrong with that." So, you know, Mark Benioff, now the owner of Time Magazine, and let's just say that Time Magazine doesn't have a problem with propaganda. Who else is on this board of the World Economic Forum? It's a long list. I'm not going to go into all of them. Lawrence Fink, Larry Fink, you know who he is? He's the CEO of BlackRock. They're buying corporate bonds for the Fed. You know how they said, oh, well, Trump has nationalized the Fed because he put BlackRock in charge of it. You know who's in charge of BlackRock? Larry Fink. You know who's on the board of trustees for the World Economic Forum? Larry Fink. This guy's a dangerous human being. Keep your eyes on him. Mark Carney is on there. He's the chairman of the Financial Stability Board. That's the Bank for International Settlements. That's the central bank of the central banks. Christine Lagarde is on the board. She's the former director of the IMF. She's the president of the ECB, the European Central Bank. She's a globalist scumbag of the highest order and a convicted felon, I would also add. And somebody you might not know, Zhu Min, Bank of China, IMF. Ooh, here we go with the Bank of China getting involved with the World Economic Forum. Interesting. Let's roll China into this as well, because we're going to need them. Side note, not necessarily board of director, but you know who is in charge of the World Economic Forum's technology sector? A lady named Isabel Maxwell. Name ring a bell? Director of Israel Venture Networks, leading the technology charge for the fourth industrial revolution, which in involves brain implants and AI and mind control. We're going to get into that in a minute. Isabel Maxwell. Maxwell. Where have I heard that? Oh, yeah. She's the sister of Ghislaine Maxwell. She's involved in this too. This is who's involved. These are the people that are working with these maniacs at the World Economic Forum. When they start talking to you about the Great Reset, your ears need to perk up, because this is not what it appears to be. They are selling you a gigantic lie. They are selling you a vision of the future, which in their marketing is blue skies and rainbows and everybody getting together and sustainable development, and we're not using fossil fuel, and we're all, you know, kind of under this one world where there's rainbows and unicorns and, you know, all that good stuff. But it's not exactly what we're going to be getting, because what they really want to do is implement the United Nations plan for Agenda 2030, sustainable development. You know, they always mask it in that sustainable development. Doesn't that sound good? I'm supporting something that's sustainable, like bamboo, isn't it? Bamboo's great. Who hates bamboo? It's sustainable. The sustainable development's going to be just like bamboo. We're going to grow that instead of trees, and then we won't have to cut down the rainforest. And isn't this great? It's bullshit. It's all a gigantic smokescreen to get you thinking that you're doing something right and supporting something that is very important to, you know, to the future, dressed up as, you know, you're going to feel good about yourself as you're paying your carbon taxes to the one world government while you're working at your job, making Soylent Green and, you know, living in your 200 square foot micro apartment inside your smart city that the United Nations is running. So, I mean, I'm being a bit facetious here, but not much, because this is what's coming. So you might have heard of the term the fourth industrial revolution. Sounds great. Industrial revolutions are neat. You know, God knows we need some sort of revolution. I think the whole world is begging for a revolution. And here come the saviors to offer it to you. You know, interesting. What is the fourth industrial revolution? Well, let's talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to get into why this matters. So there are a variety of different components to it. I'm going to go one by one with the major chunks and then explain what makes up these major chunks. So the first thing would be called fusing technologies. And by the way, you can find all this stuff on their website. I didn't have to break into the place to see their plan. They're very upfront about what they want to do. They'll tell you. They'll be lying to you, of course, but they'll tell you what their plan is, this world, you know, upgrade of the world. So fusing technologies, it includes these components: biotech, virtual reality / augmented reality, quantum computing, so we're talking about D-Wave computers, advanced materials, neuroscience, artificial intelligence, and blockchain. Okay, fusing technologies, that's what we're talking about there. The next component is called ethics and identity. That also is biotech, behavior science, digital identity, values, human enhancement, and COVID-19. Ooh. Why would they put COVID-19 right underneath human enhancements? Maybe because they have big plans for that vaccine. Let's move on. Agile technology governance is the next major component that they have. And that is 5G, global governance. You mean like a one world government? Yeah, that's what they mean. Blockchain and Internet of Things. Internet of Things is when every goddamn piece of equipment in your house is talking to one another. Like your refrigerator will talk to your toaster, you know, when you've used up the last of, you know, when you've made the last piece of toast, then your refrigerator knows that because your toaster tells it, you know, we're done with this, and, you know, and it reorders more stuff. And it's all dressed up to sound like, isn't this going to be convenient? You know, like, hey, when you're out of things, it'll magically know. Well, think of when your refrigerator that is connected through this Internet of Things reports to your health insurance provider that there are too many Cokes and 7-Ups and Ding Dongs and all sorts of other bad things in your refrigerator, and it rats you out to your healthcare provider, which jacks up your insurance, your life insurance policy, because you're probably going to die pretty soon because you're eating so much garbage. I mean, this is the direction it's going. There will be no more privacy. Even something as innocuous as the food you eat and keep in your house, everything will be weaponized to spy on you. It'd be like an Alexa for everything. Let's move on. Next component of this, inequality. And they list these three parts. Gender parity. Is that gender parity or gender blending? Taxation and mental health. Okay. The next section is business disruption, the Great Reset, 3D printing, COVID-19 again, and robotics. Interesting that they knew COVID-19 was going to be involved in this and that it was going to be part of business disruption. It's almost like they planned the whole thing with Event 201. Oh, wait, we'll get to that later. And the last part is security and conflict. And the parts that they have associated with security and conflict are drones, space, artificial intelligence, geopolitics, and neuroscience. So, sell the benefits. That's what they're doing. Isn't it great that we have 5G? Because now you can download porn in 3 seconds instead of 3 minutes or whatever their sales pitch is for it. Never mind the fact that they still haven't done safety tests on 5G. I mean, they haven't published them, at least. I'm sure they've done the test, but they don't want them published because 5G is super dangerous for you. The way it is powered needs constant repeaters. And so they don't, it's not like a radio tower that's, you know, 70 feet up in the air that's broadcasting everywhere. These are lower. The 5G boxes that they install are like head level, and they need lots of them because they need a lot of power to run them, and the bandwidth, that like the rate and distance at which the signal goes out doesn't go very far. It's hard when it goes out, but it doesn't go far from a distance standpoint. So it needs lots and lots and lots of these 5G transponders to just keep repeating the signal over and over again. So we're going down a path that where technology is going to be massively incorporated into what we're dealing with. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Technology is like a gun, right? It all depends on whose hand it's in. Is it a good thing or a bad thing to have a gun? That depends. Depends on the person holding it. Same with this technology. Is virtual reality or quantum computing or artificial intelligence a bad thing? It depends. It could definitely be. It could definitely be a good thing as well. It's just how it's being implemented, what its purpose is, who's using it, and why are they doing it. That's where it matters the most, is who's in charge of this whole thing.
And you've also heard of the Great Reset. That is something that they're extremely excited to push. You're starting to see it everywhere now. The Great Reset. Ooh, that sounds interesting. Well, who's going to be in charge of this Great Reset? Is it going to be Klaus Schwab and his band of maniacs? If that's the case, no thanks, I'll pass. If you're talking about the Great Reset where we get rid of central banks and the military-industrial complex and NASA and these criminal organizations. Oh, I'd be in favor of that reset for sure. But that's not what we're getting. What we're getting is a reset of the way we interact with banks and technology and governments and the media. And it's not going to be a reset that benefits us. It's going to be chaos and insanity masquerading as just the normal sort of shift in business models where if you've been doing something for long enough, you eventually have to evolve and move on to something different, something better. Now, I think a lot of people would agree that we are in need of a great reset of some kind on, you know, the way things currently are. But the problem is the people that have screwed up the world are the people that are proposing this great reset. So it's not like they're actually going to move us into some better utopian society. They're moving us towards kings and serfs. That's the plan. The Great Reset is part of that. Have you heard them talk about universal basic income? Oh, this is great. Free money, right? They're going to give you free money. Why do you think they're going to give you free money? Why would your government be in a huge hurry to give you free money? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One reason is because they are going to replace you with robots. That's not my speculation on it. They talk about it in here. They talk about it in the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Automation through artificial intelligence and robotics. It means that the jokes that we've always made about working the fry machine at McDonald's as, you know, being one of those people that come up and get that job, or you're flipping burgers, those aren't even going to be jobs anymore. Those are being replaced by robots right now. They have robots that will flip burgers for you. All of these things are coming. And the universal basic income is a way of basically bribing people to look the other way while their jobs, the whole industry is being destroyed. Low-paying jobs will be replaced. You know, this push for $15 an hour. We got to have $15 an hour. Okay, sounds good. You know, everybody, you can't live on $8 an hour. You need to live on $15 an hour. And I think a case can be made that, you know, inflation that the Federal Reserve has put into place has diminished the purchasing power. So yeah, maybe everybody is inclined to get a bit of a pay raise to keep up with inflation. But when you start doing things like mandating $15 an hour, what you're doing is you're accelerating this process of changing people out and swapping them for robots. Because some guy is going to take a look at this on a spreadsheet and go, we have to pay all of these workers twice what we were paying them before. So how much does that cost? Okay, how much are these robot machines that will, oh, they cost X dollars and this other, you know, what we're going to have to pay cost Y? Oh, this is a no-brainer. Let's just buy a bunch of robots, get rid of all these people. Now we don't have to worry about that. So it's accelerating this push. And universal basic income is the bribe that is, it's the carrot that they're giving people to not notice that their jobs are being made obsolete. And what they want to do with universal basic income is not pay it to you in US dollars. They want to pay it to you in Federal Reserve digital currency. Now, January 1st, 2021, everybody's going to get a Fed wallet, a new crypto wallet for Fed coins. I'm like, what? I've never heard of this. Well, it's coming. It's coming real soon. And what they want to do is they'll pay you Federal Reserve coin money, which will be a cryptocurrency that would be totally antithetical to the concept of privacy coins like Bitcoin and Monero. It will be used as like a new version of the EBT card, you know, the welfare card, like the you know, what they give out. But you're not going to be able to receive this universal basic income in your Fed wallet unless you comply. Unless you comply with what they tell you to do. Unless you jump through the hoops. You want the money? Well, are you vaccinated? Do you have your vaccination passport to show that you're vaccinated? Because if you don't have that, see, then we're not going to be able to approve your
your monthly stipend that we put there, you know, your universal basic income. I mean, you want that, right? I mean, this is the rules. I don't make the rules. I just enforce the rules, buddy. I just work here at this desk. And it says that you've got to have your mandatory vaccine, your COVID vaccine, in order to collect this UBI. And I'm looking on your chart here and you don't have it. So why don't you go to the doctor, get vaccinated with the experimental vaccine that has nanoparticulates in it, and then come back here, and then I'll be able to give you your FedCoin bribe, I mean, income, that you can then use to go buy bread that we hyperinflated the value of now because we've had to create all this fake money out of thin air. So this is kind of their plan. They want to push everybody to accept this great reset. They want to show everybody the future of the fourth industrial revolution. But you know, the thing is, people are inherently lazy. And you don't really want to get up and move to a new system when you're comfortable with the current system you're in. We got a lot of problems with this system, but we're comfortable with it. We know how to navigate it. We understand the world that we're living in to the extent that we can figure out how to live. We can navigate these, you know, our current situation. So, in order to get everybody on board with the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution, they're going to have to destroy the current paradigm. They're going to have to destroy what we're currently living through. Now, I wonder how you would go about destroying the world without anybody blaming you for it. Well, you could do it through a virus. I mean, you could unleash a virus secretly and then use the virus as the pretext to lock everybody down in their house, destroy the economy worldwide, destroy small businesses while propping up the big businesses, and creating a nation of fearful, hell, a world of fearful sheeples that are begging for somebody to come in and fix this current problem. Almost like a problem reaction solution. Problem. There's a deadly virus. Everybody's going to die. Millions of people. Fauci told us. Fuck, Fauci told us. We're all going to die. The reaction. Save us. Oh my God. Oh my God. Put masks on us. Close the schools. Close retail. Close everything. Close the world. Leave Amazon open. Leave Walmart open. But kill all the other businesses, right? Problem. Reaction. Solution. Here's the solution. Take the vaccine. Here's the solution. The Great Reset. Here's the solution. The Fourth Industrial Revolution. Now, that would be some black belt level conspiracy bullshit if that was happening. And if that was happening, clearly you would have all heard about that, right? You would know that the World Economic Forum is this evil batch of monsters that are plotting to destroy the planet. Well, you would hear that if you had the media that was honest and truthful and had any integrity left, which they do not. So you're not going to get that. And it's left to the alternative media to blow the whistle on this. And they've been doing a pretty good job, because if you've probably heard of the World Economic Forum, you've heard of the Great Reset, you probably have questions about what all this means. Fourth Industrial Revolution, people are really starting to get into this and figure out, why are we doing this? What's the end game here? And then you stop and think and you go, wait a second. Where have I heard the World Economic Forum being discussed recently, besides the Great Reset? Oh my God. Oh my God. Holy shit. They were part of Event 201.
with Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in conjunction with the World Economic Forum and Johns Hopkins University, ran the simulation for Event 201 in October of 2019, which simulated the outbreak of a coronavirus unleashed onto the world, spreading from bats to people in wet markets, and then getting on planes and spreading throughout the world and destroying the economy and shutting down everything and killing 65 million people over an 18-month period, when the only solution to this is the vaccine that is finally rolled out. This is all part of their simulation of Event 201. I'm not making this up. I'm not speculating about it. How do I know that this actually happened? You can watch the video of it. They filmed it. They're all there. CDC, the CIA, the Chinese CDC, the FDA, intelligence agencies, all participating in this World Economic Forum Event 201 event. So let's just talk this out here. Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum run a simulation 6 months before something happens exactly like the way they simulated it. And it starts the process of destroying the world economy bit by bit. It also does a pretty good job of destroying the people in a variety of ways, financially, psychologically. You know, people are giving up. People are depressed. People are afraid everybody might be infected. Ooh, everybody might be infected with a disease, a virus with a 99.997% survival rate if you're in a certain age category. A disease so dangerous, you have to get tested just to know if you even have it, right? The hallmark sign of bullshit right there. I'm not saying coronavirus doesn't exist. I'm just saying that it is not the Black Plague. It is not. We're not stacking dead bodies here. We're just not. Thank God we're not, but we're not. So Bill Gates and his group, along with the World Economic Forum, come together and simulate a coronavirus outbreak 6 months beforehand. Bill Gates negotiates a $100 billion contract tracing deal with Democrats 1 year before the corona situation hits. That's pretty lucky of him, wouldn't you say? What a coincidence that is. And then this whole virus situation rolls out, destroys economies, destroys people. What did they need for the fourth industrial revolution and the Great Reset to take place? They needed the current system to be destroyed. And guess what happened? They simulated an event that would do exactly that. And then guess what happened? It happened exactly the way they simulated it. Are we coincidence theorists here or what? Because there's a few too many coincidences here for my liking. I think that it is important that we take a look at not just who these people are, but what they've said. What they've said is coming. Bill Gates gets that smile on his face and says, just wait for the second wave. That'll get your attention. Really? Why do you know that? Why are you saying that? Do you know something we don't know? I think the answer to that is yes. And I think that the reason why he's saying that, I think that the reason why he is speculating about there being a second wave, when there isn't second, by the way, there aren't second waves of flus. There's flu season, but flu peters out. I mean, you look at the charts, it comes in, it hits pretty hard, and then it tapers off. It doesn't come back again in that same form. It just doesn't. I don't understand why it doesn't, but it doesn't. So there shouldn't be a second wave. But
when the guy that negotiates a $100 billion contract tracing deal with the U.S. government a year in advance tells you, runs a simulation about this same virus, and then it actually happens, and then he says there's going to be a second wave, maybe we should listen to him. I'm not saying trust him. I'm just saying listen to him. He knows something we don't know. He knows what's coming because he's involved in it. The World Economic Forum is involved in the corona situation. Why do you think they have COVID-19 on their list of things that are used to they put that in the ethics and identity section, COVID-19. They also put it in business disruption section of the World Economic Forum's Fourth Industrial Revolution. I'd say it's disruptive to business, wouldn't you? It's almost like they needed it to be disruptive to businesses. But why is it part of ethics and identity? Why is it lumped in with behavior science and digital identity and values and human enhancement? Why is COVID-19 part of human enhancement? Because it has to do with the vaccine. The vaccine is the key. Now, if you get the COVID-19 vaccine, you get exactly what you deserve for being so ignorant and so trusting and so gullible and such a moron that you got in line and went and got one of those things without looking into it, without studying the history of vaccines in general, and this vaccine in particular. I'm losing my patience with the sheep out there, and I am quickly moving from I want to alert everybody to help save them and, you know, show them what's going on. I'm quickly moving to then get the fucking vaccine, you dummies. You know, my patience is wearing thin with this crowd. You're going to call us conspiracy theorists. You're going to call us anti-vaxxers, anti-science, all that stuff. Well, then you be the first in line, Mr. Pro-Science. Mr. I'm going to get the vaccine first because I'm going to protect grandma and I don't want to kill grandma and you want to kill grandma. How dare you? You people are going to grow the proverbial third arm out of your back if you go and get that vaccine. It's part of this plan. It's part of it in a couple of ways. It's part of the compliance. It's part of the digital enhancements to humanity. This is a problem. When the vaccine is part of an enhancement program, what are they putting in it? Well, I've read the patent. I think a lot of you have too. You know, patent 60606. They love that shit, by the way. Yeah, it's crypto enhanced nanoparticulars in the vaccine that is powered by the energy in your body and reports back your behavior and how what your body is doing. And if you are doing the things that they tell you you need to do, they'll pay you money in crypto. It's in the patent. I'm not making it up. So is this making sense why it's in the same category with behavior science? It is behavior modification through the use of a vaccine. And the modification is through paying you in crypto. It's part of this UBI. It's the same part. If you're a good slave and you take the vaccine and do what you're supposed to do, we will pay you your UBI. Well, how will you know? Well, we'll know because the vaccine is filled with little rats, not actual rats, but little particles that are reporting back on your behavior and your activity, where you're going, what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're putting in your body, what you're not putting in your body, things like that. Are you exercising? Are you not? This is part of the behavior science. This is part of human enhancement, biotech, digital identity, values. Values like, you know, being a good servant to the state? You mean like that? COVID-19. It's part of their plan. They
you got to give them credit. I mean, these maniacs are good. They have great marketing. I can appreciate great marketing when I see it. They have great marketing. Go to their website. Their website, unbelievably great. You can find all of this there. It's part of their plan to use the destruction of society and the economy and people's health and their mental well-being. Destroy everything so that they can build it back, build back the fourth industrial revolution. And the technology part of that is going to be led by, in part, not just by, but in part by Isabel Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's sister. Do you trust her with your well-being? Do you trust any of these people? Do you trust Bill Gates? I certainly don't. He's part of the problem. He is the problem. Well, the theme for Davos 2021. Oh, by the way, when you hear the term Davos, Davos is a city in Switzerland. But when you say everybody's going to Davos this year in January, that's the World Economic Forum's conference. That's where the, 500 billionaires fly in on their private jets and world leaders and business leaders and think tank leaders and all these people. When you hear the word Davos in terms of meaning a meeting place or that event, that is the World Economic Forum. Their theme for Davos 2021, the Great Reset. That's what they're going to be talking about. Problem, COVID-19. Reaction, shut the world down. Solution, the Great Reset. So Klaus Schwab is their director. He's been their director since, 1971 or something like that. 72 maybe. He's a hardcore globalist nut job that wants certain things. This is what he wants. He wants the removal of cash. He wants the reset of capitalism. He wants to fight climate change, which is a scam, hijacking the concept of hijacking pollution and using that as the pretext for this concept called climate change, which was written about same year Klaus Schwab came in, 1971, by the Club of Rome, in their book, Limits to Growth. Club of Rome, started by David Rockefeller and Dr. Alexander King, where they talk about how they are going to create the concept of global warming, even though it doesn't exist, and use that as the pretext to tax the population for carbon emissions, and that they will use the proceeds from that to form their one world government. Once again, not me pulling this stuff out of my ass. It's in their writing. They talk about it. Klaus Schwab also wants to overhaul the global economy. He wants tech to run the show, and he wants the Green New Deal. And who else has been talking publicly about this Great Reset lately? Prince Charles has, that pedophile old chap. I don't know if he's a pedophile. I assume he is. Lord Mountbatten, his uncle, was a pedophile. Of course, Prince Philip's a pedophile. And when Prince Charles and Diana were going through their marriage problems, they brought in a marriage counselor to help out Jimmy fucking Savile. So, he might be a pedophile. I'm just saying. This is the globalist group, and they're talking openly about this. Klaus Schwab he's got a hard on for this stuff. Has been, well, I don't know how hard it is now. He's probably in his 80s, but he wants this. He wants this badly, and they're going to get it, because the problem is the vast majority of people have no idea that this is going on. They think that we just got unlucky. We just 2020 was a bad year. We got unlucky. We had this pandemic come out. that killed millions and millions and millions of Americans. That's what they think. Have you, I don't know if you've seen the, like the man on the street interviews, like Mark Dice does, or, you know, people like Mark Dice, where they're asking people, like seriously asking people, how many Americans have died already from coronavirus? And there's people that are like, I don't know, 14 million. And you're like, really? That's what you think? So no wonder people are wearing masks in their car by themselves. There's a ton of misinformation out there. But most people just think that we got a bad deal in 2020. We just happened to have this deadly virus come through, wipe us all out, you know, and nothing could be done. Yeah, we're, you know, the Democrats will blame Trump. Republicans will blame, you know, somebody, China, you know, whatever. Everybody's pointing the finger at somebody else. But nobody is denying that this is actually happening. They all think that this is a natural occurrence. You know, oh, well, what are we going to do? We're going to blame, yeah, we can maybe blame China and those savages there at the wet market that are eating bats and everything. But, you know, mostly it's just bad luck. No, it's not. No, it's not bad luck. It's engineered. This stuff doesn't happen accidentally. You get the coordination of the media and the government and all these operations. Think about this. Let me ask you, if the lockdowns and all of this were so relevant and needed and obvious, why did the IMF and the World Bank try to bribe the president of Belarus with $940 million that they said, we will give Belarus this money, but you have to impose lockdowns and curfews and mandatory masks? Why would they do that? Why? Why would they be incentivizing countries to lock everything down? Why would they incentivize hospitals to put COVID-19 as a cause of death on the death certificate? If you do that running a hospital, you get $13,000. And if you put a patient on a ventilator with COVID-19, you get $39,000. Once again, look it up. Look into it, right? Nod to Eddie Bravo. There's a lot going on out there. You don't need a PR campaign in a public relations department when you have an actual pandemic. It speaks for itself. The carnage is everywhere. It's impossible to hide from when you see the dead bodies everywhere. You don't need that. What we have in the United States right now is a fake pandemic. They've incentivized doctors to call everything corona, or hospitals in general, but doctors in particular, to call anything COVID-19, so that they will get extra money from the government, from the US government. To incentivize hospitals to put people on ventilators, which killed almost all of them. The IMF and World Bank are going around incentivizing countries for putting lockdowns in by bribing them, by giving them money. The president of Belarus was not supposed to say that. I mean, I'm glad he did. But I mean, that guy, I'll tell you what, if you you don't want to get on a plane and be sitting next to the if you get on an airplane and you're sitting next to the president of Belarus, you might want to get up and get off that airplane before it takes off, because that guy is definitely going to blow up at some point. You're not supposed to talk about this stuff. You're not supposed to say the IMF and World Bank bribed me and told me they would give me almost $1 billion if we did the lockdown. That's giving away the plan. That's a huge problem, and it really happened. Oh, and guess what? What happened right after that? They tried to do a coup in Belarus, try to replace him. What a fucking surprise, right? Imagine my shock when I see that somebody not going along with the American empire all of a sudden has a challenger to his presidency, or is deemed to be, you know, or a coup is financed, or he blows up in an airplane. Look at, you know, read Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. Look what they did to General Torrijos and Jaime Roldos. They blew those guys up. They wouldn't play ball. They blew them up within 3 months of one another in airplanes. They knew they were going to get, they knew they were dead. They told Perkins that. They knew it. They knew it was coming. And the president of Belarus, don't wait till the last minute to sign that life insurance policy. You know what I'm saying? It's a gigantic orchestrated effort by these people. If you want to have a great reset, you have to give the people a reason for it. You could, of course, build a better mousetrap and incentivize people that way and say, well, we're going to do something different. And if you want to get on board, come join us with that. Or you could just totally and utterly annihilate the current paradigm. Business destroyed. Mental health of the nation in the process of being destroyed. Fear and panic, constant misinformation. Fauci comes out, says, don't wear the mask, don't need them, they don't work. Couple months go by, people start to get back to life as they know it. All of a sudden, we need a visual representation of this virus because nobody's dying from it anymore. Let's make masks mandatory. Then everywhere time you're in a grocery store, you'll see somebody with a mask. And of course, you'll know then that you're in the middle of a pandemic because that's how we're going to visually represent it. And then all of a sudden, Fauci's like, oh, yeah, you got to wear a mask. We got to wear masks everywhere. I mean, except when he's throwing out the first pitch like Gary Delabate at the Nationals game, where he throws it in the, you know, third base dugout. I mean, and then sits up in the stands with his mask off next to people. You know, that hypocrisy, that guy. It's a psychological operation. They tell you one thing, get everybody to believe that, then they contradict it. And say, no, don't believe the first thing. You're stupid for believing the first thing. How dare you believe the first thing that we told you to believe? You've got to believe the second thing. If you don't believe the second thing, we're going to fine you. We're going to arrest you for not wearing your mask. We're going to get you at the park when you're playing in front of your kids. We're going to chase you on the beach when you're walking down the beach without a mask. The police are going to chase you. You've seen the videos. We're going to show up to your house in Australia when you're pregnant and arrest you in front of your kids on camera? You think this is haphazard and accidental and disjointed and random? It's not. We are in the early stages of watching this thing roll out. And I'm telling you right now, the boogeyman in charge of this is the World Economic Forum. Keep a very close eye on those people, the people that are associated with them, the people that speak on their behalf, like Bill Gates. You already know who he is. He's not a good guy. These people have big plans for this planet, and it doesn't involve you and me standing up and speaking out against them. They want us all on the reservation, eating Soylent Green, working at our job, making widgets for them, paying our carbon taxes to their one world government. They want you compliant. They want you in the United Nations smart cities. They want Agenda 2030 to happen. They're working with them to make it happen. It's about control. It's about controlling you physically. It's about controlling your emotions. It's about controlling the way that you see the world. And of course, it's about making it look like somebody else did it. How can you get mad when it's just a virus that came from China? Nobody's at fault here. How could we? We can't be expected to have known that something like this is going to happen, except for the role-playing exercises that role-played something like this. Kind of like Condoleezza Rice and George W. Bush saying, you know, how could we have known that planes were going to fly into the buildings? I mean, we would have never known that, except for all the reports that were on your desk that talked about that, except for the role-playing exercise that role-played the exact same thing happening. These people are liars. They're pathological liars. They're lying to you now about the corona situation. They're going to lie to you in the future about it. They're going to lie to you about the vaccine, what's in it, what's not in it, what it does, what it really does. They're lying about all of this. And you're going to have your wits about you. if you want to be able to navigate through this, because it's coming. It's coming faster than we would hope. And I'm troubled by it. I'm legitimately concerned about this, in part because so many people will blindly go along with this because they'll never understand what's happening. And in part because these globalist guys, there's no boundary for them. There's no line in the sand that they won't cross. They believe that the ends justify the means, and whatever has to happen in order to get to this one world government. Well, if you're going to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs, right? That's the way they see it. Unfortunately, we are going to be the broken eggs in this situation, and I'm not looking forward to it. So listen, take this information, do what you want with it. You know, I'm not saying to be fearful, because when you're scared, you make bad decisions. You make short-term decisions. I'm just saying, incorporate this information into what you already know and fact check everything that I've been talking about, please. Don't ever take my word for it just because I'm talking about it. I don't know it all, okay? I know quite a bit, but I can't tell you that I know exactly how this is going to play out. But I know where they want to go with it. And I also know that they're very smart, they're very dangerous, they're very well financed, they have the power of the media behind them, and they will make you look like a crazy person for pointing out the very real plan that they have for humanity. Thanks, everybody. If you like this, share this episode. We're not going to get any love from the algorithms. You know that. I appreciate it. Take care, everybody.